Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Are they talented? Sure, no question. It's going to be fun to watch those guys grow up together.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams.
It's been great to be here with my family and stuff, but also to be able to have Rome Odunze at number 9. It's pretty sick, right?
With the 9th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze.
I knew when that phone call came in from Illinois, and I was super excited. I want to be here. They wanted me here, and I think that's a good connection to have.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Here's Kevin Powell.
Now joining me once again on the WGN Radio Football Podcast is Herb Howard, covers the Bears for the Bigs, does a great job doing it. Herb, I appreciate you jumping on. Before we get into the schedule stuff, what have been your early impressions of QB1, Caleb Williams? He was at Hallis Hall for rookie minicamp, talked to reporters. What did you kind of gather from what he is as a person, a quarterback, all of that?
I thought he's been really, really good. I thought he's been really, really impressive throughout. Wow, I'm sorry.
Hey, everybody wants to talk Bears now, including your GPS, so it's all good.
I'm trying to tell you. I thought Caleb has been really, really good. I thought he's shown himself to be really authentic, really genuine. I thought he's answered all the questions that people may have had about his character or any of the Hollywood stuff we heard about. He doesn't seem to be that type of person at all. He seems to be really sure of himself. He knows who he is and who he wants to be and what he wants to accomplish. And so I thought he's done everything really, really well in terms of ingratiating himself not only to the city but to his teammates and his coaches as well.
You know, hearing him talk, Herb, was everything you want to hear out of a rookie quarterback, out of a top quarterback. And I think any of those preconceived notions of Mr. Hollywood, we can throw those out the window. You know, I don't buy into it. I get it. You know, it's just a different world right now. You know, if you're a star quarterback in college, like, yeah, you're going to be in the spotlight. You're going to have ads. You're going to have endorsements, things like that. Everything so far from what I've heard from him is exactly what you want to hear. He talked about being a leader. He's like, I kind of got to settle in here a little bit. You know, he's like, I got to learn the offense. I got to establish myself, and then I can lead. That's exactly what you want to hear.
That's everything that you want to hear from a rookie in general. I understand he's the quarterback. I understand he's the number one pick, and there's a lot of expectations and excitement around him being here. But at the end of the day, you still got to earn your spot. And so he understands that. He's got to come in. He's got to learn. He's got to learn how to follow before he learns how to lead. And I think he really understands that. And so I have a lot of appreciation and respect for the way he's going about his business right now.
What do you think are realistic expectations for Caleb going into his rookie year? Because I understand that a lot of people will say, you know, like, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's not get overly excited. But I'm kind of on the side of this is one of the most highly rated quarterback prospects coming into the NFL. He is entering a very good situation. I think we should be expecting pretty big things from him his rookie year. What do you think is a fair expectation of Caleb year one?
You know, I agree with you, KP. Not only is he, you know, touted as a generational prospect, but he's a generational prospect that's coming into a pretty ready-made situation. He's not a generational prospect that's coming in to be the first piece of a rebuild. He's pretty much coming in to be the last piece of a rebuild. And so I think a lot of things are in place for him to come in and have early success. Obviously, we know about the weapons he has. So I think that he will come in and be successful early on. I think the Bears as a team, the expectations should still be that they're a playoff team. I think that should be the floor for them this season to get into the playoffs. I don't think they're ready to contend for a Super Bowl just yet, but I think they should be a playoff team, and they should be a team that people don't really want to see. And I think as they continue to develop, he continues to develop the chemistry with the DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Cole Kmet and Rome Odunze. Like, those things will position him well to have success early. And if he's healthy and continues to show improve the work ethic that he has, I think he's going to be very successful very early.
How do you feel about the offensive line? Because obviously we keep talking about the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs, and I feel okay about the line, Herb. I wouldn't say I feel great about it. Where are you at with the offensive line, the guys that need to protect quarterback one?
It's a big question. That's the biggest question for them right now. Will they be able to put this offensive line together? Will it be able to come together in a way that allows Caleb to have the time that he needs to, you know, go through his progressions and read? And I think I like their tackles. I mean, obviously we know Darnell Wright. Everybody expects him to continue on his trajectory to being a perennial Pro Bowl player. But I think, just like the Bears do, that Braxton Jones is a guy that is only going to get better and better. I mean, this is a kid that just 2 years ago was playing Southern Utah, fifth-round pick. And so now he's in a position where he's going into his third year as a starter at left tackle. So I like their tackles. Tevin Jenkins is an absolute stud as long as he's healthy. So if he's healthy, I think that he will be the dominant player. His health is always an issue, so you got to be concerned about that. That's why you need depth. Same thing with Nate Davis. And then obviously you're trying to work in a new center who hasn't really played all that much at the center position in the National Football League. So there are some concerns about that O-line. They do have the pieces to make a good unit, but it's got to come together, and they got to have a little bit of luck with their health.
Yeah, I'm with you. Totally with you. I think that's a question mark. I feel good about some of the pieces, and even defensively up front. I mean, if I'm looking at two concerns, or at least areas that still need to be addressed long term, it's defensive and offensive line. Do you expect some more additions to the defensive line as we head into off-season workouts and eventually training camp?
I think the defensive line is also a question for them. They got to figure out what's going on at the three tech. They got to figure out, you know, what they're going to do at the edge opposite Montez Sweat. And obviously they've got DeMarcus there to play on one side, and then they drafted Booker to come in and play. But I think they still need some help at edge. And they got to figure out if, you know, they have what they need at a three-technique position. You keep hearing Coach Eberflus talk about it as the engine of the defense. And I know Javon Dexter came on late and showed some flashes of what you want to see and his potential. But at the end of the day, it's not a proven commodity just yet. So you got to see, you know, how he continues to develop, how Zach Pickens continues to develop. Obviously playing next to Billings is a good thing for both of those guys. But you need a difference maker at that three-tech. And you don't know for sure that it's on the roster right now.
Yeah, you'd love to see Javon Dexter make a big leap in year two. We did see some strides, as you said, later on in the season. But they're desperate to really find a game wrecker at that three spot, especially in a defensive that for Matt Eberflus. The schedule is out, Herb. Plenty of primetime matchups for the Bears. Kind of, I don't know, it just looks different. Even when you just look at the schedule, I mean, you know, Rams, Carolina, then you're in London. They've got three home games in a row. They've got all of their division games over the final 8 weeks of the season. What, any takeaways from you when you look at this schedule, Herb?
First thing that catches my eye is going to Green Bay in the last week of the season. I'm sick of that.
Yeah.
Cold up there, and it might snow. so selfishly, that was the first thing that caught my eye. Like, oh, not this again. But in terms of the Bears' schedule and the outlook and impact it can have on their season, I think obviously they get back from London and then they have the bye. And then just having what the NFL has been doing the past several years, you know, backloading the schedule with division games is going to give everybody an opportunity to kind of stake claim to the division on the back end. And so they go to Detroit. They got Detroit twice in 3 weeks. I think that was similar to the way they had them last year. So, like those are the things that I'm looking at, those division games late on the back end. How fast can they get out to a start that allows them to be in position to have games that matter down the stretch? And I think they can have early success. And again, that's going to go back to how quickly Caleb can develop, how quickly he can get that chemistry with his teammates. And can the defense step up and be the strength of this team over the first quarter, first half of the season? I think they'll probably be the strength of the team the entire season, but specifically in that first quarter, first half of the season, as the offense kind of gets its footing together, as they kind of develop the chemistry, get used to playing with each other, the defense will need to kind of put some low numbers on the board for opposing offenses. If they can do that, I think the schedule is pretty friendly for them. They got a you know, fourth place schedule. And so I think they should you know, they should be able to take advantage of that schedule. But I'm looking at it on the back end. Once they come back from London after the bye, you know, where will they be in the standings then, and what can they do with those division games on the back half?
Yeah, I know it's strange to see that many division games down the final half of the schedule, but it could make for a lot of fun, Herb. I mean, the NFC North, I think, is going to be one of the better divisions. Green Bay has their quarterback once again, it appears. Detroit was very close to a Super Bowl appearance. Minnesota still has a lot of good pieces on their roster and a rookie quarterback, so we'll see. But the NFC North, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. And that back half, as long as the Bears, you know, win the games they should win in the first half of the schedule, it could be a really fun second half of the season.
No, it definitely could, because we're having those division games. You know, you see how everybody goes through the first round of those division games, and then you got the second ones, for the most part, on that back half. And I think they're going to be in a position to where those are going to be some critical games. I think because the division is going to be so competitive, these teams are going to be close. I think you're going to be within a game or two for all of these teams, and then playing each other in the second half of that season will make for some entertaining football, some really important games. You know, on the road, at home, those division games where you know your opponents really, really well, and they know you really, really well. Now it just comes down to execution, game planning, health, right? How's the health going to look down the back stretch of the schedule? And, you know, if they're healthy, I think they got to like their chances against any of these teams in the division, because I think if they're healthy, then they'll probably be playing pretty well. They should have a pretty good schedule, and then they'll have the time on task in terms of getting that chemistry that we talked about earlier. So definitely going to be an exciting back half of the schedule, just having so many division games.
Have you talked the bosses into a trip to London yet? Are you going?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Good. I've actually never been. So I'm looking forward to going over there. Obviously, the Bears will be hosting, if you will, the Jaguars. And so, you know, that's always a bit of a thing in terms of losing, you know, one of your true home games. But I think it's going to be an exciting trip. Looking forward to it. And, you know, at the end of the day, for the Bears, it's a business trip. So they got to figure out the logistics of it. It's a little bit of a nightmare. You talk about a early morning game. I think it's 8:15 or 9:15, something like that. So you got an early morning game logistics. You got to figure that out in terms of what do you need to do to make sure that the guys are in, you know, optimum position in terms of peak performance and rest and all those types of things. But other than that, I think they should feel good about their chance to go over there and take care of business against the Jaguars.
So do I. It'll be an 8:30 a.m. kickoff Chicago time. Can I get a way too early record prediction from you, Herb?
Sure, absolutely. I'm thinking 11-6 is where they should be. KP, we know this team should have won 10 games last year, right? We know they had three historic losses where they gave away games when they had a 95-99% chance of winning. You're up 12 with 4 minutes to go in Detroit. You're up 20 on Denver. You're up against Cleveland. And these are games that they should have won. And so this is a team that could have been a 10-win, easily could have been a 10-win team last year. I think they'll add another one this year, and they'll go into the playoffs feeling pretty good about themselves. Like I said earlier, I don't think they're ready to make a legitimate Super Bowl run, but hey, all you got to do is get in, and then who knows what can happen after that. But I think they'll definitely get in, and I think they'll get in with an 11-6 record.
Yeah, and there's no sure thing about a rookie quarterback. We feel optimistic about Caleb, as we should. You know, I think he's checked all the boxes you could want so far. I mean, is it a sure thing? No. I mean, it is very difficult. Most rookies struggle, but if Caleb does kind of, you know, live up to the hype, I think they should be in a really good spot to make a legitimate playoff push. But it is very exciting time for the Chicago Bears, Herb.
Yeah, that's the assumption, right? You assume that Caleb is who we think he is, and if he is that, then the team should be really, really good. And so when you talk about, you know, record predictions, that is obviously assuming that Caleb is as good as advertised. And so far, you know, he's shown that in terms, I mean, the tape, we've seen the tape. The questions were mostly about, you know, who he is. And he seems to be every bit of what you want in a franchise quarterback, locker room leader, that type of guy. So if he's able to come in and have success, then this team should be really, really good. But obviously, you know, you got to wait. You still got to see it on the field, right? Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, he's got to do it on the football field. And so that's really the last step that you're looking for from Caleb is, you know, do all these things translate? Does he do it on the field?
Hey, last question. How do you feel about Shane Waldron? Because as much of excitement as I have about the roster, you know, we don't know, right? We don't know about Waldron. Matt Eberflus is a defensive coach. What should we know about Waldron? How do you feel about the Waldron-Caleb thing and the play-calling ability of Waldron and all of that?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest X factor in my mind right now, other than how the O-line comes together. It's just how is Coach Waldron as a play caller? And I mean game to game, week to week, half to half, series to series. How is he with in-game adjustment? How is he with tailoring a game plan towards the strength of his players? Right, a lot of times you have coaches say, this is my system, this is what we're running, regardless of what personnel tells me. And that is usually a recipe for disaster, right? I think what you really want to be looking for is a coach who understands his player's strengths, also understands their weaknesses, and then puts them in a position to be able to succeed. If he's willing and able to do that, then I have a lot of confidence that this offense will be good. I just don't know. I will have to see, you know, how he is in terms of doing what's necessary from week to week. One week it may call for 40 passes in a game. The next week it may call for 40 runs. Is he willing to have that kind of flexibility as a play caller? If he is, it's really, really exciting what this offense could do. If he's not, they're not going to reach their potential.
Should be fun to watch. That's Herb Howard, covers the Bears for the Bigs. Follow him on Twitter at HerbHoward411. Herb, I appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
KP, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me. Sorry about the noise distraction.
That's all good. That's Herb Howard. Thank you, Herb. I appreciate it, man.
My pleasure, man. Take it easy.
All right, I'll see you soon. Thanks. That is Herb Howard. This was episode 87 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Brian Altimer and Ernie Skatton for their help producing the podcast. Thanks again for listening. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.